The scripture for today is from 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 to 17, and it reads, I am grateful to Jesus Christ our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he judged me faithfully and appointed me to his service. Even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a man of violence, but I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But for that very reason, I receive mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience, making me an example to those who would come to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.
Good morning. So a few weeks ago, I was in Berkeley with Phil, and we did a trip to the local Target in Berkeley area. It's a two-story Target. It's quite large, and as you know Target, or if you love Target, you know they have special display sections, right? When you first enter, there's that spot. It's called the spot, the dollar place, where there's many items for a dollar, and they're so smart, they put it right near the entryway. So, of course, I always put some of those items in my basket. Also, at this Target, they had a dorm room section, because I know there's a lot of UC Berkeley students shopping in that area, so they had cute desk items and pillows and comforters and things for the dorm room, laundry baskets and those baskets that you take to the shower, just all this stuff in the dorm room section. And then, of course, they had the Halloween section with the Halloween costumes and candy and the decorations for the house. And at the Halloween section, it was kind of in one corner of the store. The back wall at the Halloween section, when you round the corner to go to that back wall, was Christmas items. Yes. And I thought, you know, standing in this two-story Berkeley Target store, and this was the end of August, they're already starting to put up Christmas items. And then you start thinking about Christmas and all that comes with Christmas. And then I thought about gifts and having to buy different gifts for family members, for church staff, and for friends as well. And it's really gotten me thinking about gifts. So it's fitting on this Sunday that I end the sermon series on spiritual gifts. But I want to talk about the difference between gifts and spiritual gifts. But first, let us pray. Gracious and loving God, I ask that you guide my words, that your wisdom shines through these words, that you know and hear the reflections we have on our hearts. For you, O Lord, are our Creator, who created us and loved us. You are our Redeemer, who saved us. And you are a Sustainer, who gives us strength so we can continue to do your mission. All these we pray in your Son's name. Amen. So as you are thinking about gifts, you know that you give gifts usually on special occasions, for birthdays, for anniversaries, for graduations, for Christmas, or even Easter time. We give them specifically at specific times. And then what do you do about a gift? You give it to someone and you don't expect to be paid for it. It'd be pretty shocking if you went to a five-year-old's birthday party and gave them a gift and then said, oh, by the way, you owe me 10, 20 bucks, right? You don't give someone a Christmas gift and then also a month later email them your credit card receipt saying, okay, now you have to pay me back for that Christmas gift. You give these gifts freely. But then what do you think happens to these gifts? Do the people use them all the time? Maybe they're excited about it when they first receive them, but I'm sure a year or two later when you go to someone and say, oh, do you still have that gift? It might take them a while to think about where they put that gift or when they last used that gift. In my own family, I'm known as a person who loses jewelry a lot, so my family never, ever gives me the gift of jewelry because, I hate to admit it, I have lost jewelry items from family members, including a heart necklace that Phil gave me when we were first dating. So I never get jewelry as a gift. But think about a gift versus a spiritual gift. They say that a gift is something that you give on your own accord, you give it freely, and you do not expect payment back. And a spiritual gift is something that we receive, a gift from God, from the Holy Spirit. But these gifts, there is an expectation that we do pay back. We pay back by using these gifts. We never put the gift away. We always remain excited about this holy spiritual gift, and we use the gift and even pass on this gift. That is a difference between a spiritual gift and a normal gift. Now, you know the spiritual gifts that we've been talking about this past summer: prophecy, service, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership, and mercy. If you have the gift of prophecy, you have a gift of proclaiming the word. You like to share the gospel. You boldly stand up and share your convictions about the word of God. You do this by your preaching, you do this by teaching, and you do this by talking to others about the word of God. Or you might have the spiritual gift of service. You enjoy helping others. You sometimes even do these things in the background when you know you're helping the church receive to fulfill its mission. You often work behind the scenes, but you give assistance where needed. Or you might have the spiritual gift of teaching. Someone with the spiritual gift of teaching enjoys and knows how to instruct members in the truth, the doctrines of God, to work together for the purpose of building up and maturing the body. You are a teacher through Bible study, through faith sharing, to devotion and reflection time. What if you have the gift of exhortation? You are like the cheerleader for the mission of the church. You possess this gift, and you also know how to encourage others to continue in their faith journey. You do this through preaching, through teaching, and other forms of ministry. There is also the gift of giving. Members who have the gift of giving give freely of their time, of their energy, of their will to the service of the church. You place giving as a priority, sometimes even sacrificing things so that you can give to the church in many ways. And you also know how to encourage others to give to the church as well. Or what about if you have the gift of leadership? If you are a leader, you know how to aid the body to work together. You see the plan and you know how to accomplish the plan and meet the goals of the church so that all may be united to working towards God's mission. And this morning, we're going to talk about the gift of mercy and see how Paul's letter to Timothy talks about the mercy that he himself received from Jesus Christ. If you have the gift of mercy, you are very cheerful in your acts of compassion. You show persons love through your actions. You aid the body as a whole by helping those members who are hurting. You help to keep the body of the church healthy, and you also continue to unify the church because you see the needs and the hurts of the church and solve those needs and hurts as well. God gives us all these gifts, and you each have one or two of these gifts, and I hope you have discovered these gifts or are thinking about what gift you might possess. But remember, it is a spiritual gift, a gift that must be used always, a gift that you must be excited about, and a gift that you must know how to pass on as well. And you wonder, why do I pass on these gifts? Why do I always have to use these gifts? Because we look to Jesus Christ and the life that he lived. He had all of these gifts: the gift of leadership, the gift of prophecy, the gift of giving and exhortation, of mercy and service and teaching. He had all these gifts, and he showed these gifts as he used them with his disciples and the people that he encountered. And he then passed on these gifts. So at the time when his body was killed on the cross, his body was broken for us, and he was put in the cave but resurrected on that wonderful Easter joyful Sunday, we know that his legacy continued on as the Holy Spirit came and gave the spiritual gifts to different disciples and apostles and new followers. And we today, over 2,000 years later, received the gifts from the Holy Spirit as well. We know that Jesus showed many of these gifts as he taught by the lakeside. He was prophetic, he was teaching, and he was helping others as he fed those who needed food. He was always encouraging his disciples and those around him to praise and be worthy of honoring God. He was also giving, and he was also a great leader, and he also showed mercy to all. A great example of Jesus as he showed mercy was the story from Matthew 20, chapter 20, verses 29 to 34, as Jesus encounters two blind people. We know in the scripture passage from Matthew chapter 20, verses 29 to 34, Jesus and his disciples, they were leaving Jericho, and on the road out of Jericho, a large crowd is following them. But then they see two blind men sitting by the roadside. And when they hear that Jesus is going by, the blind men shout to Jesus, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." The crowd, they get mad, they rebuke the blind men, and they told the blind men to be quiet because Jesus is walking by. But the blind men, they are not quiet. They shout even louder, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on us." These two blind men are asking Jesus for mercy. And Jesus uses the spiritual gift of mercy and shows mercy to them. It says in the scripture passage that Jesus stops. He calls to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they answer him, "Lord, we want our sight." Jesus has compassion for them and he touches their eyes, and immediately they receive the gift of sight and they follow him. Jesus has given them, yes, the gift of sight, but he has given them the gift of mercy, this most important gift of God's love for them. Because they had such strong faith, they had faith in God, they had faith in Jesus, they knew that Jesus could cure their blindness. Because they had such strong faith, they received Jesus' mercy. He acknowledged them, he stopped, he touched them, he did all these things that the crowd and the disciples were telling him not to do. He was using the gift of mercy, showing compassion. Jesus was showing God's love to them. For if you have the gift of mercy, you have acts of compassion. You are proud in these acts that you do. Mercy is what we express when we are led by God to be compassionate in our attitudes, in our words, and our actions. It is more than feeling just sympathy for someone. We all feel sympathy for someone. Mercy is love enacted. We know that people have desires and we want to help people fulfill those desires, the needs that they have to alleviate suffering, loneliness, and grief. Mercy addresses physical, emotional, financial, spiritual crises that we all see people are in. We ourselves have been in these crises. Mercy also is someone who can be a champion for the low, a champion for the poor, a champion for the people who are forgotten or lost. We must show mercy, to choose that spiritual gift of mercy, to show God's love and acts of compassion. That's what mercy is. Now I know we say, oh, we can all do that. I always feel sorry for someone. I'm always polite or always want to wish well for the best person. The other day I had the opportunity to go to the Asian American Museum's annual gala dinner. And they honor different people each year in different organizations. And one of the fun honors this year was Fresh Off the Boat. Have you seen that TV series? It's a really funny series. I think it's set in the late 80s, and the main character is a young, maybe middle school now, teenage boy. It's an Asian family, which is really exciting, and they're living in Florida. And the boy, Eddie, lives with his two brothers, Emery and I think Edwin. Again, it's like eight typical Asian families, a lot of alliterations and names, so Edward, Emery, and Edwin. And their mother, Jessica and Lewis, and their father, Lewis. There was a funny episode where it showed in the episode the father, Lewis, and his brother who was visiting, and they were having what they called a polite fight. Now, we know in the Asian culture what that means, the polite fight. When you're all at a restaurant together and it's time to pay the bill and the two brothers, they grab for the check. No, I'll pay. No, you pay. No, I'll pay. No, you pay. Because they want to be polite, but they want to be the one that pays for the check. Or the polite fight when you arrive somewhere and there's one seat left. You sit. No, I'll sit. No, you sit. No, you sit. You know, two people fighting over because you want to look good, right? To have, let the person have the seat. We tend to show compassion in sort of those surface ways. We want to let someone have the seat. We want to pay for the bill. We want to provide for someone a good meal if they come to our house. Especially us Asians, we will admit we have polite fights, right? But the thing with polite fights is it does a thing where it makes us look good. By helping someone else out, we, of course, elevate ourselves. It makes us look better. And then it makes us look more honorable. It makes us look like the better person. But we don't want to show mercy because we want to look better or we want to be the better person or look the best in front of society. We want to show mercy because we want to glory and honor God. It's kind of like the wonderful sharing that Phoebe had at her conference that she had where the guest speaker talked about his life and how hard it was and realizing he needed to turn his life around, not to honor and glorify himself, but to honor and glorify God. For when you show acts of mercy, you are honoring and glorifying God. When you use any of the spiritual gifts you are using, you are honoring and glorifying God. For acts of mercy means you are showing God's love and compassion through all. And it's not just to do it to honor yourself, but it's to do it to honor God as well. So in this morning's scripture passage, when Paul is writing to Timothy, he is, of course, trying to convince Timothy to be a great leader in the church, to carry on the mission of the church as Paul is ending his time as a leader of the church. And Paul does this great thing. He talks about the mercy he himself received, the mercy he received through Jesus Christ, so then Timothy can go on and show that mercy that all he has also received about God's love to people. We know in this morning's passage that Paul starts off by saying, I am grateful to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service. If you remember, at the beginning of my sermon series, I gave you the sheets with different spiritual disciplines that you can do. There are spiritual disciplines of praying daily, the spiritual disciplines of reading the Bible, the spiritual discipline of connecting to other Christians, and the spiritual discipline of serving others. If you look at the first spiritual discipline of praying daily, if you remember, it says to pray daily, and it gave an example of how you can pray. You can pray through ACTS, A-C-T-S. It's an acronym. The A stands for adoration, the C stands for confession, the T stands for thanksgiving, and the S stands for supplication. And the great thing is, if you look at this prayer, ACTS, A-C-T-S, you'll see in this morning's scripture passage that Paul is doing just that. He's offering advice and a way to convince Timothy to be a leader of the church, but at the same time, Paul is praying in this morning's scripture passage. He is fulfilling ACTS, A-C-T-S. He's offering his adoration up to God, A for adoration. When Paul says, I am grateful to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service, he is showing his gratefulness to the Lord. He's being humble and so thankful that he has been received as a faithful and appointed servant to the Lord. So when you think about being a person who uses a spiritual gift of mercy, you first must humble yourself as well. You must first be thankful to the Lord who has served and selected you, who has appointed you to his service. And then Paul continues in this morning's passage with his own confession, C for confession. He says in verse 13, even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, a man of violence, but I received mercy because I acted ignorantly in unbelief. What a wonderful and amazing confession. He says all these things that would make him look horrible in society's eyes. That he was violent, that he was a blasphemer, that he lied, that he was a persecutor. He specifically went after Christians and persecuted them. But he says he was ignorant in his unbelief, but he still, after confessing all these things, he knows he still received God's mercy. We ourselves, no matter how far we have fallen, no matter how bad we have been, we must know that we will still receive God's mercy when we confess our own faults as well. Then Paul goes on to say in verse 14 and 15, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of who I am the foremost. Paul here is offering his tea for thanksgiving. He's thanking God for all that was done. He says that the grace of God overflowed over him and that he received the love in Christ. He says that those who are sure and worthy received this acceptance that Jesus Christ came to the world to save the sinners. He is so thankful for that fact, reminding people of the very core of their belief, the good news that Jesus Christ saved the sinners. And he says that I am one of the foremost who received that as well. For we know that God and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, they are the anchor that we must be anchored to. They say that one of the most important jobs a ship captain does when they are on a ship is not the staff that they hire. It's not that the engine room is perfect. It's not that they look at all the charts of the weather that they are going to go on. But one of the most important jobs that a ship captain does when he gets on the ship is to make sure the anchor is right. For the anchor is so important. If the crew is horrible and things happen, they can let down the anchor to save the boat. If the weather gets bad and unpredictable when storms or hurricanes come on the waters, they let down the anchor to save the boat. If the engine room fails, if water starts flooding through the creaky boat, or things are failing with the makeup of the boat, they let down the anchor to save the boat. The anchor is so important. And for us, that is a symbol in our life as well, that the anchor is so important. Our anchor is God. God is the anchor that we can let down when we are in trouble, that God will save us and make us safe. And the anchor is also Jesus Christ, who died on the cross for us so that we may receive God's love and mercy. And in this morning's passage, Paul is thanking God for being the anchor for him, that God's love overflowed for him. And he closes in this morning's passage in verse 16 by offering supplication, A-C-T-S, S for supplication. Knowing that God supplies our needs and the needs of others, we thank him in our prayer of supplication. Where Paul says, for that very reason, in verse 16, for that very reason I received mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience, making me an example for those who would come to believe in him in eternal life. He's asking God to continue to supply him, to be an example for those, to know that he might display Christ's patience and love for all. So you, if you have the gift of mercy, you would want to do that as well, to know that God will supply your needs, your own faith journey that you can share with others, that can make you compassionate and want to help others as well. So if you have the gift of mercy, you show compassion, not just through your thoughts or your thinking or your sympathy, but through your actions. Where if you also remember that sheet I gave you, not just encouraging you to pray daily and read the Bible daily, but also to connect with someone and to be in service with someone. Those are acts of compassion. Those are acts of mercy. When you serve or help someone, you ask them how they are doing and what their needs are, and you help them meet their needs. When you know when the church needs help, or you see someone in the church or in your workplace or in your school who is lost, and you connect with someone, and you serve people as well, you remind people the importance of being in fellowship, of prayer together, and devotion together. You might invite them to a Bible study. You might tell them about how you yourself were touched by God and how Christ in your heart, and how baptism changed your life as well. We heard last Sunday Phoebe and Alyssa share their wonderful summer mission trip, and thank you for Phoebe for continuing to share again. These two young women, they showed acts of mercy during the summer, and it's so wonderful that they showed compassion for people, they connected with people, and they were in service for people because they knew how important it was that they themselves have received mercy. And you yourselves have received mercy as well. You received God's love for you, a gift of the Holy Spirit that you may then want to go and share with others through acts of compassion and love. So whether you have the gift of leadership, of exhortation, of teaching, of giving, of prophecy, or of mercy, you all are encouraged to think about the gift of the Holy Spirit that you have received, so that you may use this gift, that you will be excited about this gift, and that we can work together in unity to continue the mission of the church. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we are so thankful for the gift that you have given us, the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. And we continue to follow in his footsteps and continue to do the work that he started, to show your love available to all through the mercy and our acts of compassion. Whether we have a gift of leadership, exhortation, giving, mercy, teaching, or prophecy, we know that we are called to use the gift that we have to be in service and help of others and to show your love to all the world. In your Son's name, amen.